You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Spring will be here soon, so if buying a new home is on your to-do list, right now is the time to call Quicken Loans. Learn about which mortgage options make sense for you and get a jump on your competition. With our exclusive Rate Shield approval, the low rate you lock today is protected for up to 90 days while you shop for your new home. With a Rate Shield approval, if rates go up, your low rate stays locked. But if rates go down, you get that new, even lower rate. Either way, you win. Talk to us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to take advantage. Here's another great reason to work with us. For a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Again, to lock in today's low mortgage interest rate and get the security of our exclusive Rate Shield approval, call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Thoughts of suicide may feel impossible to overcome, but with help and support, you can find hope and meaning. Call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK to speak to a counselor, or visit suicidepreventionlifeline.org. It's free, it's confidential, it's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And even if it feels like it, you're not alone.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 5000 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 5000. Enjoy.
I'm Little Teapot, short and stout.
Here is my handle and here is my spout.
No, Dad, like this. When I get all steamed up, then I shout, tip me over and
pour me out.
This is WWE superstar Roman Reigns. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today.
Visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
KLRN Radio has advertising rates available. We have rates to fit almost any budget. Contact us at advertising@klrnradio.com.
This is Joanne Jenkins, CEO of AARP. The coronavirus continues to affect us all, and we are here actively supporting you and your community. Every day, we're providing trusted information from top health experts, sharing tools to help protect families from fraud, and creating resources to support family caregivers everywhere. As always, you can count on AARP to advocate for you and your family. Join us and stay connected at aarp.org/coronavirus.
The following program contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is advised.
Yeah! something?
Absolutely.
You know what we gotta do?
Foga party.
Foga! Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
I want you to kill every golfer on the course.
Check me if I'm wrong, Sandy, but if I kill all the golfers, they're going to lock me up and throw away the key.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh?
It is Chat Lives Matter Day right here on KLRN Radio, America's Podcast Network, and you are listening to the Robinson and Horty Show. That's right. Dan is off again tonight. He's still being essential. The world is still not returned to normal, and I'm not sure. At this point, I'm starting to think it may never return to normal, but we'll talk about that more next hour. And as usual, joining me for now, two, 3 months now? Pretty much every time, time we do this show, is the Amish guy, the one, the only, you may remember him from an hour ago when we were doing this before. We call him the Opulent Amish. He's also known as Horty, or he's also known as Don't Judge Me, I Do 12 Shows a Week, just like the other guy. Anyway, hey, how you doing, man?
Hey, long time no here. I feel like it's been minutes since we talked to each other.
It has been. It's been exactly minutes.
Yeah. So, what's going on, man? How's your lockdown going?
Just work from home just got extended until August. So the daily dose will be daily Monday through Friday until at least August 1st. Unless, of course, we start making Joe Rogan money, and then I'll just do it every day.
Sure. Hey, I'm playing Megaforce.
I don't know. We were talking about this before the broadcast officially kicked off while we were on the ad roll. And I made the mistake of doing the math of what Joe Rogan actually makes. Bottom dollar, by the way, for his podcast, knowing what we get per hit on our ads. Dude's getting like 180 million hits a month on his podcast, I think. So if you multiply that out by the usual ad pay for that kind of stuff, dude's making like almost $8 million a month on his podcast. I just really need that one time. But it would explain why, because I bring this up because we were wrong last week. We talked about this last week and we said that he signed a deal with Spotify for $10 million. It was $100 million, bro.
Yeah. Like I said, Howard Stern money, man. That's Howard Stern money.
And that's just crazy. Anyway, bad thing is I will never be as cool as Joe Rogan, so I will probably never pull down that much cash from my podcast. But
you know, Joe Rogan, he's always done kind of what we did on Jux, what we do on Jux. Because even if you remember his character back on News Radio when he was first coming out,
yeah,
he played the conspiracy dude. So his whole shtick has always been doing what we do on Jux. So there's hope.
There is hope. I mean, yeah. At this point, I would be happy if the entire station was making almost $8 million a month, because then I would pay you guys a hell of a good salary, and then the rest of it would go into the station, and we could all do this.
Would I get paid by show, or?
Well, I mean, for you, we just have to do the Horty rate.
We'll negotiate a contract later. Yes, Jeff, even you will have a contract.
I don't know. If he keeps telling everybody how much he sucks, I might not let him sign it.
Hey, you know, self-deprecating humor. I've got it.
We've all got it. I just like to give him a hard time about it because he's stepping on my mojo, man. That was my thing.
Yeah, that's my game. But so what's going on?
Not much. Bunch of news out of everywhere, and not much of it is good. Apparently, there's rioting going on in, I believe it was Minneapolis, and now parts of California have joined in, I guess, in solidarity. I don't know.
Yeah, LA riots when other cities riot just so they can. There was a joke, if you've seen the movie LA Story with Steve Martin, where, you know, they're him and his girlfriend are riding in the car, and then the DJ on the radio says, "Hey, if you feel that spring, if you feel something strange in the air, it's the first day of spring." And Steve Martin goes, "It's open season on the LA freeways," and everybody starts shooting at each other. So, that's Los Angeles. They riot in solidarity with anything for any reason whatsoever. But I did see footage of them looting a Target in Minneapolis, and the only thing I could think is, well, thank God they all had their masks on.
So, I mean, you know, for anybody who's wondering, this is stemming from a story that broke. The first time I heard about it was today. I don't know how long the story's actually been going around because I was actually...
It started before the weekend.
I was actually
unplugged
for most of the weekend because it was my birthday this last weekend, and I didn't want to deal with social media stuff. That and the wife and I took a trip.
Sure, that's right. Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm another year older and that much further in debt than I was before. So, yeah, it's just one of those things. But anyway, so the thing that disturbs me about this story, and I'm not going to get into it too much, but I do want to at least touch on it, and then I'll turn the mic over to you. Having done the type of work that is being discussed all over the place right now, look, I get doing whatever you need to do to subdue somebody, especially if they are resisting arrest, but there's no reason, after someone is in handcuffs, to continue to leave your knee on the back of their neck for an extended period of time. Now, having,
or on their throat, or, yeah.
Now, having watched some of the video, I still think that it may turn out that there were underlying issues, and I'm not saying that to excuse the officer, but the simple fact of the matter is, if someone is choking and they're still able to talk, there's a problem, because you can't, if you're, anyway... It first aid training, I'm like, so I don't understand how they're... I mean, I get it, and I'm not making excuses, but from what I heard for a good portion of that video, he was still able to talk fairly clearly until the very end. So I don't know if the officer shifted weight just to be a douche or what happened. But I do know that the thing about this is it's terrible, and there's no armchair quarterbacking it. The simple fact of the matter is... After they got the cuffs on the guy, they should have stopped doing whatever they were doing to keep him subdued unless he started resisting again.
Yes, at that point, you don't ask, am I being detained? You are detained. So, you cannot resist much once you are in cuffed. Well, once you're cuffed, the resistance factor is next to nothing. I mean, unless you're in the back of the car trying to kick out the window or whatever, but... You know, they even have the shackles on the car to keep you in place. So, yeah, no, it at that point, everybody stands up and walks away. Once restraint has been put in place, everybody should just stand clear and then assess the situation then. That's my opinion. As a lay person, you know, once you have the subject detained, then step back and figure out what your next move is going to be. Sitting there with your knee on their... chest, on their neck, on their back, on their, you know, whatever, is a recipe for disaster. I understand what you have to do to restrain the subject, but after that, no.
Yeah, no, and here's the thing, folks. I'll be the first one to tell you that putting somebody in handcuffs doesn't necessarily always reduce the resistance factor, because I've actually dealt with that before. But at the same time, the person was on the ground, handcuffed, and at that point, the officer should have gotten up because, I mean, at that point, if they try to get too much further, it's not very easy to run when your arms are behind your back. Trust me.
I'm watching the footage from this looting at the Target in Minneapolis, and they're walking out with pallet jacks full of shit. They've got like they those big carts at Home Depot that you put a fuck ton of lumber on.
Yeah.
I'm watching a group of people with a pallet jack and one of those leaving with 7 TVs. And another dude's walking out with a vacuum. So, happy Mother's Day.
Nice. Got Mother's Day covered for the next 10 years.
Right. Yeah, so... Yeah. Yes, and the thing I don't get is the looting response. That never made sense to me.
Well, I mean, never really made sense to me either, because, I don't know, maybe because we're sane.
Well,
I use that term loosely, but still.
Yeah, thinking about the LA riots, and this is what, you know, because that, being where I am, that was always in, you know, that was always the big riot that I remember watching. And it's like, okay, so y'all are... rioting in your own neighborhood. If you're really pissed off, jump up on the 405 or jump up on the 405, get your ass to Beverly Hills and loot there. That's not your neighborhood. You know, your local businesses that you shop at and you're friends with. Why are you torching their shit? You know, go over to, you know, Century City. Go over to Beverly Hills. Get up in Laguna Niguel. Go loot there. If you're trying to send a message, that's the message you send. Looting at home never made sense to me.
Looting to me in general doesn't make any sense, but I really don't understand burning down your own hometown.
Ferguson, Baltimore, even LA, because they were burning in LA too. But with gas so cheap, you almost can't afford not to make Molotov cocktails.
The views expressed by the Amish one are not necessarily endorsed by those on KLR Radio.
Right. It's like Ron Sanchez. Beverly Hills is where they have the good shit to loot. You know, you're not looting a Target, you're looting a Cartier.
Well, I mean, think about it this way. At least they looted Target. They didn't hit Walmart. You know, sir.
Yeah. I don't know. Looting just... I'm going to get what's mine because I'm mad. It never ends well. Yeah, because you get like, you know, the local businesses will board up, and then your local economy goes to shit, and you got nobody to blame for yourself. You know, they're not coming back. The business that you torch a place, the business isn't going to come back. They're going to take that insurance money and go to some place where the people aren't going to loot and riot.
Take that insurance money and move to Fiji. Fuck right. Y'all, I'm out.
Right? I'm going to move to L.A. They don't riot there.
Well, there was that one time at band camp, just saying.
Right, yeah. So, that's what's happening. That's breaking news right now. Yeah, Ron, exactly. Loot Rodeo Drive. And, you know, you go looting around Paramount and Long Beach, and all you're going to find is rooftop Koreans. And then you ain't getting shit. So, anyway.
Oh, so did you hear about the thing that happened at CNBC earlier today?
Mm-mm.
So,
no, lay it on me.
So apparently, during a CNBC show earlier today, two anchors went at each other. They went to battle in a full meltdown debate on Wednesday, which was earlier today, after one accused the other of abusing his position to help President Donald Trump. The flashpoint for the anger seemed to be when Joe Kernan took Andrew Ross Sorkin to task for being so skeptical of the stock market rally during the coronavirus pandemic. For a while, it was, how can stocks be where they are because of oil prices? Remember, that was your take. Then, how can it be based on where interest rates are right now? Then it could be, how can stocks be? And then it was, every single discussion you have over the weekend was about how can stock prices be here when the economy is here, said Kernan. And basically, it kept going from there. Now it's going to be your earnings, but can you see how that probably isn't the coincidence stuck right in your face? He mocked. Sorkin launched into a tirade against Kernan in his own defense, and I'm not going to keep reading all of it. You can actually find the full thing on The Blaze, but apparently they were like going at each other tooth and nail. I was looking for some audio earlier today. Actually, I take that back because I just managed to find it. So let's go ahead and give it a listen. What the hell?
Yeah, let's go ahead and listen.
Of course, I say that. Now I got to make sure to find out why it's not playing. Oh, because I have the site muted. Ha! See, that's what happens when you're used to playing ads and not trying to hear them, because you, like, mute everything and then you forget you've muted it. So hang on just a second.
Tell us about what's happening
still
right
now. Still looking at the coincidence and lagging indicator. Let's see. For a while, it was, how can stocks be where they are because of oil prices? Remember, that was your take then.
Right.
How can it be... Yep. Based on where interest rates are right now. Then it could be, how can stocks be? Right. And then it was every single discussion you have over the weekend is about, how can stock prices be here when the economy is here? Right. Now it's going to be your earnings, but can you see how that probably isn't the coincidence, the stuff Joe. Right in your face? We're going to have David Leibovitz on. He's going to say every client he talks to is asking him, how can the stock market be here when everything else is...
And that's the question. And there are a lot of smart people who have that view.
You may
are
not
they?
Have that
are
view.
They, so, I know you, that, you, why you, is that the smart people? They've been wrong for 35%. Why are they smart? Just because they can see what's right in front of their nose? That doesn't make them smart. It makes them.
Look,
it makes
Joe,
them
you
not
missed
savvy
it all the way down too.
Makes them
Joe,
not savvy about the
Joe,
market.
Joe, you missed it. You missed Joe. You missed it 100% on the way down, and you missed 100,000 deaths. So we can have this debate back and forth, and you can try to question the questions I'm asking. But there are smart people, including your friend Stan Druckenmiller, who has argued that the market has been over. Hold on. I'm not going to do this with you, Joe. Every morning, you try to question the questions I'm asking. These are questions that investors are asking. Every single morning, I am just trying to get through some of this clutter. I may be right. I may be wrong. Investors may be right. They may be wrong. That's what makes a market. But it doesn't make people a good person or a bad person. It doesn't make it right to act the way you are. I'm sorry.
Okay. You yelled
and
at the poor guy
at this
about
hour.
The guy
not.
Yesterday with masks is like, why are you yelling at
I'm not,
me now?
Joe.
You just yelled again. I don't
I'm
know.
Not.
I'm just trying to.
Go
I'm
ahead.
Just. I'm sorry.
No, you're not, Joe. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Go ahead with the news.
You panicked about the market, panicked about COVID, panicked about the ventilators, panicked about the PPE, panicked about ever going out again, panicked
and
that we'd ever
Joseph,
get back to normal.
Joseph, you didn't panic
what
about
good is
anything.
That? What good is it? Why
Joseph,
not? Why 100,000 not help
people die.
Keep their head. I understand
100,000 people died, Joe, and all you did was try to help your friend, the president. That's what you did every single morning on this show. Every single morning
it
on this show, you abused and abused your position,
that's
Joe.
Totally unfair.
You abused and abused
I'm
your position.
I'm trying to help investors keep their cool, keep their heads. And as it turned out, that's
you
what they
Joseph,
should have done. That's what they should
the
have
news.
Done. They should
do
have
the
kept
news.
Their heads. If they had listened to you, Andrew, we're supposed to be at about 8,000.
I wasn't arguing to go sell your stocks, Joseph. I was arguing about people's lives.
We understand.
People's
Andrew,
lives.
Andrew,
that's
it's a
the
global
argument.
Pandemic.
Do the news. I'm begging you to do the news, Joseph.
It's a global pandemic.
I'm begging you.
Andy,
please.
It's a global pandemic, Andy, where per capita deaths, we're down near the low end of per capita deaths. We're nowhere near per 100,000. Most places are at 60 deaths per 100,000. We're at 29. So it's terrible that we've lost 100,000 lives. It's terrible. But it was never going to be that we weren't going to come back and that we weren't going to return to normal. And, you know, siding with Ackman and everything else, that, you know, giving credence to all that panic didn't help any investors at all or people with their anxiety and everything else. So that's why we're here, to try and navigate people through, not trying to help Donald Trump. Anyway, let's look at Tesla. News overnight, Tesla.
And I would call that a mic drop, just saying.
So, okay. We talked about earlier on toxic masculinity how science is amoral. It doesn't care. The stock market is amoral. It doesn't care that there's 100,000 people dead. It doesn't care that there's a PPE shortage. It doesn't care about any of that. Unless that is the direct responsibility of a company who happens to be on the stock market, and they caused 100,000 deaths. And we'll use Bhopal, India with Dow Chemical as an example. Then the market cares about that. But 100,000 people dying of coronavirus, the market doesn't give a shit. And Joe was right. Joe is completely right. It does panic buying and selling with the market. That doesn't do anything unless it's directly related to the stocks itself.
I mean, the whole thing that bugged me about all that was, you know, and I took this from a different perspective, because I've had that same argument leveled at me, because I actually used to do a show with someone that was of a more liberal persuasion, shall we say. And basically he would do the same kind of thing with me, even back while Obama was president, and I was saying that I was going to vote for Mitt Romney. I can't believe you're going to use this platform to try to promote Mitt Romney and the fact that he wants to do this and he wants to do... I'm like, hello? That's kind of what we're supposed to do. But the thing that drives me crazy about all of this is, you know, this guy's actually just trying to give people the facts. Look, at some point, the economy's going to recover. We know that. But once the fear is out of the way and everybody realizes that life can go back to some semblance of normal, if the media stops pushing their rage whore bullshit that they've got going on right now, then life will start returning to normal. But until it does, we need somebody that's going to be honest and say, look, this is basically what you need to do to navigate this particular situation and stop letting fear lead you by your whatever. Well, I was trying to be gender inclusive, but I didn't. I don't know. That's why I said whatever. But the whole thing just frustrates the shit out of me because I am so tired of these tirades and these meltdowns. And I mean, they're happening on live TV more and more. And I just, it's all about Orange Man bad. You used your position to help the president, not the American people, and you haven't been talking about the 100,000 people that have died. And then the dude's like giving him the facts of, look, 100,000 people dying, really bad. But compared to where we thought we were going to be and compared to where the rest of the world is, we're actually doing pretty damn good. Why is it wrong? Why is it wrong to say that? I don't understand.
It's like I say on Twitter a lot, too, is that were it not for the failures of New York, America would probably be at about 50 to 60,000 dead, and we would be held up as the model to a pandemic response. And so, but yeah, once you argue with an appeal to emotion, you have lost. And when Andrews threw out the, as soon as he said 100,000 dead, he lost the argument. And then when he came back around and said, you're just trying to help Trump, that just showed that he lost the argument because he had nowhere to go but Trump.
Orange man bad, and you're trying Orange to help him. Orange man bad.
Yeah. So, and that's... the market doesn't care about your emotions. The market doesn't care about your feelings. The market doesn't care about your dead.
And it shouldn't.
And it shouldn't. It is an entity in and of itself that does what it wants to do. I mean, it's a great barometer of public opinion, and I think that's why a lot of the left can't figure out why the market hasn't completely fucking tanked, because if you listen to them on social media, the world is ending. But America doesn't see it that way. And that's why I keep saying is that if they're running for president of social media, they've won. But they're running for president of America, and that shit doesn't fly in the areas that they like to ignore.
No, you're right, and it shouldn't. It just, I don't know. So many things, and I've been playing catch-up all day, because like I said, I unplugged over the weekend because my birthday was Monday, and then I wound up not doing the morning show yesterday because by the time 5:30 in the morning rolled around, I'd been up for 36 hours, and I was like, yeah, I don't do very good when I've had 3 or 4 hours of sleep. I don't want to try to do live radio after no sleep for 36 hours.
Sure.
So I took yesterday off, tried to get back into the swing of things today, but then we were slammed all day at work, so I didn't really have much time to look into anything. But one of the big stories that I saw that came across my feed while I was on lunch was, well, I mean, no other way to put it at this point, but we've now officially been able to reaffirm the fact that, oh, shit, it's not loaded. Anyway, hang on. Never mind. I'll just worry about that later. But
I was going to say, you want to do it after the break?
Yeah, we are just about there, aren't we? Didn't realize we were already almost there. But anyway, so yeah, when we come back, we're going to do one of our favorite segments lately because they keep giving us more and more reason to say this. But when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about why
China is asshole.
Because, they've done it again.
Oops, they did it again.
Yeah, they keep doing it. And it just proves more and more that they are authoritarian assholes who don't care about anybody or anything. I don't know. We'll talk about them when we get back, because I'm going to go ahead and take the break so we can actually get ready to get reset here as soon as I can actually get the system to start working with me again, because it's not doing what I'm telling it to do.
Should I dance? Dance them off, Jimmy!
Nice.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling. Hello, my ragtime gal.
I'm going to find that as a bumper once in a while now, just for fun. Also, bit of a side note, but honestly, since we've started doing the drink of the month thing with Aggie, I'm thinking about using some of the Cheers music in and out of that to make it a full segment. But
that'd be cool.
Just kind of toying with that idea. All right, so did finally get the bumpers to load. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about, again, why China is asshole. Am I echoing in your ears as bad as I'm echoing in mine?
Not at all.
Okay, maybe it's just on my
You're 5x5.
I think it's because I'm talking louder than normal, and the mic has a really cool, like, edit, so I can hear things in my headphones that actually do not make it out onto the broadcast, which is even weirder now. Still learning new toys. All right, taking a break. We'll be back. This is Robinson and Horty, week 22. I don't know. We'll see you guys on the other side. Stay tuned. Rising. Oh, we'll be right back.
Everyone loves when the rights come from God, not the government. So why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your health care? Exercise your freedom with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Liberty HealthShare is founded on the idea that most people truly want to help one another. Healthcare sharing allows members to do just that as a true community that supports one another in times of need. Liberty believes people should make decisions for themselves and their families. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their healthcare. Freedom from guilt or doubt about how your money is used. You have the freedom to direct your health care, not to be dictated to by bureaucrats. Stop letting others tell you what to do and join a community of like-minded people. Exercise your freedom. Join Liberty HealthShare and take back the control of your health care while helping those around you. Call Liberty at 855-58-LIBERTY. Again, that's 855-58-LIBERTY for more information, or you can check them out at libertyhealthshare.org. Again, that's libertyhealthshare.org.
My son was in the Army back during Desert Storm. But even then, he wanted an MBA. He looked at a dozen schools, but only one offered the online education and flexibility he needed while he was in a tent in Iraq. Grantham University. Turns out that Grantham's been delivering affordable, relevant college and advanced degrees for over 65 years. Heck, if they can deliver a quality education to a soldier in a tent overseas, think about the flexibility Grantham can offer you so you can earn your degree too. It doesn't matter how complicated or full your life is, if getting a degree is on your bucket list, you'll want to do what my son did. You'll want to call Grantham. Find out how easy it is to get started on your education so you can check that college degree off your bucket list. Call Grantham right now. 800-910-1370. That's 800-910-1370. Flexible, affordable, relevant. Call 800-910-1370.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-7602 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-7602 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-7602. That's 1-800-516-7602. Again, 1-800-516-7602.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-783-0810 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-783-0810. Again, that's 800-783-0810.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 5000 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 5000. Enjoy!
Welcome back to the program, ladies and gentlemen. I am Rick Robinson. He is Ordy Packard, and we are live right here on KLRN Radio, America's podcast network. And you are listening to the Robinson and Hordy Show because Mr. Wright is still essential, and we have no idea when he's going to be allowed to come back in because they're working him to death. But welcome
back. Hashtag Wright didn't kill himself.
Nice. Welcome back, and we are officially into our
China is asshole
segment because they've done it again. So for those of you who've been paying attention today, you may have noticed that Secretary of State Mike Pompeo officially wrote a letter to China today, and the left read the letter and said and saw one thing, the rest of us read the letter and saw something else. So just to kind of give
GQ journalist Julie Ioffe going on a scree about how Trump is just kissing China's ass and giving Hong Kong away to him, and then she deleted the whole thing because everybody told her you didn't read what you thought you read.
The funny thing is the exact opposite of what you said happened is actually what happened. Yeah. And it also proved
it's exactly like you said. But the opposite.
So, well, the funny thing about that is that pretty much proves that they really didn't do anything but read the headline. Because, I mean, in the story itself, it actually says, Beijing's disastrous decision to impose this law is only the latest in a series of actions that fundamentally undermine Hong Kong's autonomy and freedoms and China's own promises to the Hong Kong people under the Sino-British Joint Declaration, a UN-filed international treaty, Pompeo said in a statement. So that paragraph alone is the exact opposite of everything everybody's been saying, because he's like, hey, look, this is just another reason why we've been telling you this entire time, and President Trump ran on the entire idea that
China is asshole!
Because they've been screwing us over for years, and now they're trying to do it to the people of Hong Kong. Because, but in case you're wondering, what happened is China passed a law that basically made Hong Kong part of China now, whether they want to be or not. And they don't want to.
Which is exactly, you know, like you said, that is against the international treaties that were recognized when the British pulled out of Hong Kong. This was the deal. This was the deal, you know. Pray I do not alter the deal further. This was the deal that, okay, we will stop our interest in Hong Kong. You have to recognize them as an independent entity, though. And like with Taiwan, and like with Tibet, China said, no.
So,
did you have a clip?
No, actually, I wish. Oh. But no, I could probably find one. But no, I didn't have an audio clip for this one. But the whole thing with this is, this goes back to everything that we've been saying, basically, some of us even longer, but basically since the all of this Hong Kong flu shit actually hit the scene. Or not Hong Kong, but China flu, whatever the hell they're calling it. What were we calling it? The Kung Flu? That was it.
Kung Flu.
Yeah, that was it. But yeah,
that AIDS.
The whole thing about all of this is, you know, China And going back and looking at our interactions with China for most of the time that I've been alive, I don't understand how we have been doing the things with China that we've been doing now that we understand exactly how they choose to do business. And we're still there.
And we keep doing it. It was like Clinton giving them rocket technology that, okay, this will help you with their space program. And everybody else was saying, if you can put a rocket into space, you can put a nuke on it. And, oh, how did China get intercontinental ballistic missiles? There's your answer.
Yeah, but I mean, so here's the thing, and again, I didn't know this until I started looking into it, but I started reading about all this stuff about, you know, when American and other Western countries decided to start doing business in China, they actually had to basically install a member of the CCP, and for anybody who wonders what that means, Chinese Communist Party, into their business. So they actually legitimately had to put somebody... Oh, I figured out why it's been echoing in my ears. I had the reverb up.
I figured it was either that or you had your monitor on, one of the two.
Yeah, no, well, the monitor's automatic, but somehow I had room reverb on, and I'm like, no wonder it sounded weird. Anyway, all right, so sorry, distracted by new toys and gadgets and all kinds of weird things. But that being said, not only do they have to install somebody from the CCP into any business holdings they have in China, they also give over the rights to any intellectual property. So we've been telling people for months now that China was basically stealing our intellectual property, but that's not really true because we had to give them access to it to be able to do business there in the first place. Why would anybody who's not insane do that?
Cheap crap. I don't know. I mean, we talk about it on Cyber Wars that, you know, a lot of hardware is manufactured in China, obviously. So when Intel agencies are surprised, all of a sudden discover that, you know, malware is installed on the hardware level on equipment that they buy. Yeah, I remember there was a story not too long ago that I think they found 20 computers at the FBI headquarters at the FBI branch in San Francisco that had hard-coded surveillance equipment built into the hardware that they had purchased. And it's like, why are you surprised? You move all the tech to China, and then you're surprised that, you know, China's not our friend, that they put spy equipment in the electronics that we need to make modern society function.
So, you know, before we move on to the next topic, am I the only one that finds it really rather funny that, you know, China basically allows people to move freely outside of the country that were restricted to travel inside their own country, and now pretty much everybody who's working from home is using Chinese programs to be able to do, like, office meetings and stuff. Am I the only one that just finds that a little weird?
Yes, it's just you.
Okay, just checking.
No, I mean, and that's, you know, again, we talked about it. Fucking Zoom. If you're still using Zoom at this point, then you have no concerns about operational security whatsoever.
Well, all I know is if you're willingly using Zoom in the first place and you consider yourself a comic book nerd, you lose. Because it's named after a bad guy on The Flash. Hello.
Yeah.
Just saying. That should have been a really good hint. Just saying. All right, so anyway.
Zoom is asshole.
But, I mean, it's not just that. You know, I mean, even like Teams right now. Bill Gates is making money hand over fist because of this thing. And then telling everybody that they should stay home until there's a vaccine that he's frantically working on trying to get patented that has a microchip in it. And dude can fuck off and die. Just being honest.
Okay. Yeah, the chip part makes no sense. But whatever. You know, Bill Gates stepped down from CEO as Microsoft, so now he's just doing evil on his own. He doesn't need to have the weight of the largest company ever doing it for him. Except for Amazon, because Amazon Bezos is about to become the world's first trillionaire.
Nice. Reading all the memes in chat, getting distracted. Sorry, my bad.
Yeah, I know.
but yeah.
Hey, Real quick, did you get a chance to watch it, any of the lead up to the launch today that got screened?
Bits and pieces on the news, kind of watched some of the testing and a few other things that were going on, and then it came out from break, and my wife's like, the launch got scrubbed, and I'm like, no! But yeah.
I get it. But the comment I was going to make about it, before we move on to the thing that we actually planned on talking about, it, is that the two astronauts' names going up were Bob and Doug. And I could not stop laughing every time Mission Control said Bob and Doug, because all I could think of was Strange Brew. It's like, you're sending the McKenzie brothers into space. I hope there's beer on that thing.
I didn't even think of that until you said that.
The Gen X, I just kept going, hearing the theme from the Great White North playing every time they said it.
Oh, man.
So, yeah. Anyway, the next thing, and this came across my Twitter feed while we were on break, FCC Commissioner Brandon Carr said on Tucker Carlson tonight that tomorrow Donald Trump is going to sign an executive order to address online censoring. He says doing nothing is no longer an option at this point, and the tech companies already said what they were going to do.
And it's all Twitter's fault, by the way, if anybody's keeping score.
Yeah, if you didn't know, if you haven't heard, Donald Trump made a couple tweets the other day about voter fraud being inherent in mail-in ballots. And Twitter fact-checked his tweet. They put a little icon down in there saying, you know, basically this is false and here's the truth about mail-in ballots. And it takes you to a CNN article.
Trump.
So, yeah. So basically, Twitter did it to themselves.
Because you know me, and we've talked about this before, and we were talking about it a little bit on the break. First of all, I'm not a huge fan of executive orders that do anything more than pardon turkeys. So,
sure,
I'm not a fan of what is being done, but I understand why it's being done. Twitter has now taken it upon themselves to fact-check opinions.
Right.
That's just stupid.
And since they – I saw it a lot today of people pointing out blatant falsehoods from other politicians. And since Twitter did not go and fact-check them, it is one-sided and targeted. And the argument could be made, and I see the argument. I'm not ready to take it out to the tinfoil hat stage, but that is election interference. And Twitter may find themselves not only afoul of the FCC because they are dicking around with their Section 203 protections of the Federal Decency Communication Decency Act, but now they're dicking around with federal elections laws too. And they have decided that they want to be a publisher instead of a platform, apparently. Now, like you said, I do not agree with executive orders, and I do not agree with regulating what private business does. But you do not get to have your cake and eat it too.
So, well, here's another little interesting development about this, and this is another reason that I wanted to bring this up when it came across your feed. So, Twitter has, in fact, started fact-checking at least a couple other people, but mainly it's because the New York Post actually put out an article stating how one-sided Twitter's fact-checking was. So, now, in a related New York Post article, the headline reads as follows. Twitter fact-checks China official after Post presses on Trump double standard. Confronted with the apparent double standard in its lack of fact-checking warnings on tweets by a Chinese government spokesperson versus the hard line it took with President Trump this week, Twitter on Wednesday added notations to the postings which falsely accused the U.S. government of causing the coronavirus pandemic. The social media company's decision follows its flagging of a pair of tweets from Trump that said mail-in ballots are vulnerable to fraud. That decision outraged Trump and called into question the political bias of the man in charge of fact-checking for the social media giant. But when the Post asked Twitter spokeswoman Liz Kelly whether the company would similarly annotate Zhao Lejeune's dubious March tweet, she said they would not add fact-checking warnings at this time, and then did it anyway. So, funny, somebody actually points out the double standard, and they go, ah, maybe we should at least fact-check this other moron. But anyway.
Yeah, but you know that they were just kind of...
Oh, wait. How about now?
I can hear you now. I don't know about chat, but I can hear you.
Okay, hang on. How long were they not able to hear you, I wonder? Because I still don't know what that was.
I've got a lost audio at 1 minute ago.
Oh, okay. Well, at least it wasn't for very long, because I still don't know what it was. I'm like, I can hear you, I can hear me, but you can't hear me. So then all I did was tweak the volume knob on my mic, and then you could hear me again. And the levels were moving. I don't know. Maybe Spreaker crapped out for a second. There is a little
new red choice.
There is a little red line over there, so I think Spreaker might have said, "Yeah, no, not for about a minute." That's been happening more again lately. I think it's because the interwebs are still kind of overloaded.
That and if they're on,
yeah.
Yes. Or, China's unplugging KLRN, as the meme in chat has.
Or for all I know, I may have accidentally, because I was coughing for a second there, so I turned my mic down. I may have accidentally hit the button that I use when I'm at work, because I kind of forgot that means they can't hear you either, so that may have been my fault.
Okay.
I don't know. All I know is when you said you couldn't hear me, I looked down and the red light was back on and you could hear me again. So I don't know if it was the board freaking out or if something else happened. But anyway.
We're going to blame China.
It's fixed
now. So I don't know where they lost us. But, yeah, so Zuck said, you know, he didn't address the tweets directly, but he said this is a game we're not interested in playing.
I mean, so here's the thing. You know, Twitter is playing a very dangerous game because up until now they've considered themselves a platform. But now they're starting to kind of skirt the line of actually being a content curator, not just a platform. So when they start editing people and putting in annotations and all these other things, they're actually opening themselves up to civil liability because at that point they're now taking responsibility for the things that are put on their platform. Because it's
normal. Yeah, and
they're now acting as a publisher, not a platform.
And that's exactly what I said. You know, and when it came out that, you know, the person who determines he's the person in charge of what will get you suspended. He's the head of that department. It's not support. It's not trust and safety. It's another thing. So he's basically the minister of truth for Twitter. And if you look at his timeline, it's peppered with shit like, and this is why we don't take. This is why we don't pay attention to you people when we fly over you. In regards to flyover country, and a lot of hard left tweets. So if he's the guy who's determining who gets suspended, or at least his department is, and he's bold enough to openly tweet like that, then, you know, I, like we said, I don't like executive orders. I don't like regulations of private companies. But having been on the receiving end of several bullshit suspensions, I can't say I don't have a little schadenfreude over this.
Oh, no, I mean, you know.
Site integrity officer. Thanks, Cord. You elected the racist tangerine. His Twitter handle is @YoYoL.
Oh, God. I didn't know who that was until you mentioned their handle. Now I'm like, oh, my God. Now I'm like, flashing all their Twitter bullshit. And I'm like, site, this dude's site, really? That's the official title of this person?
It's like Jeff just said, good news, Artie will be able to sue Twitter and KLRN will be funded forever. Woohoo! Good news, everybody.
Hey, I need to figure out how to get suspended, like, quick. Because then we can both sue Twitter.
Yeah, there we go.
Double funding. Yeah. Woohoo!
Right. So, so, yeah, I mean, Twitter, you did it to yourself. And I hope any social media company that is affected by the backlash of this, who does not engage and do what Twitter does, specifically calls out Twitter for it. Because, you know, you get kind of not really deplatformed, but deboosted on YouTube when you talk shit about Twitter or Google. And I think that will stop. And they'll actually promote anti-Twitter bias on YouTube, which would be great.
I don't know. I mean, I understand what the president is trying to do, and I understand why he's doing it. And I have to admit, I'm going to kind of watch, you know, Twitter continue to feed quarters into the dick-punching machine, because you know they're going to. At the same time, I just really, at this point, don't know how much difference it's honestly going to make, because these people are just dumb.
It's like I say about the media, too, is that they think all of America thinks the way they do because they're in their own echo chamber. You know, it's they get all those likes and retweets on Twitter and they think they're doing a good job. Where the majority of America, 99 to 9/10 of America, is not on Twitter and don't give a fuck about Acosta whining.
I really wish that we had thought up what's on the front of that hoodie, because I would so slap the KLR radio on the back of that bitch.
Yeah. I saw Stacy tweet that today too, saying that needs to be KLRN CPAC wear for next year.
I wonder how much trouble we would be in if we actually put that put the company logo on the back of those hoodies and actually did wear them that
way. The hoodie reads, for those of you not in chat, the hoodie reads, "If I offended you, cry me a river. I'll bring snacks and a raft. I will literally float down your tears, eating chips and working on my tan." So I got myself two neck gaiters from Liberty Junkies. I got the "Don't Step on Sneck" and "This is Dumb."
So
and the "This is Dumb" goes right across the bridge of your nose. So
you got a what?
The neck gaiters, you know, the masks that you just, you know, you wear around your neck,
okay,
and you pull up over your nose. Yeah.
Okay.
Because I figured, you know, even after this is all said and done, we still have forest fires in California. And on the days that it's not bad enough to wear an actual respirator, I can wear those.
That's interesting.
What?
All right, so we've made an executive decision while we were on break. There will not be an Off the Rails tonight, but Ordy's going to hang out with me for a little bit longer. So we're going to probably do the What Are We Watching segment, see how long that rolls, and then we're going to finish out the night with the
Buffoon of the Week.
Buffoon of the Week. Technically, there was not a Buffoon of the Week this week. I actually haven't watched the video that he's put together. He put something together, different together from Memorial Day, because he basically, since they record those on Monday, he said, "Today's not really the best day to be pointing and laughing at people, so we put together something else instead." So we're going to be running Gene's, probably a Memorial Day tribute of some kind instead of Buffoon of the Week, but we're still going to be running it anyway. And knowing him, there'll probably be a vote still there at the end somewhere. But anyway, so while we keep things rolling along, what are you watching?
Well, I'm still watching City of Angels. It's getting really good. But because it's only once a week, I took upon myself on our friend Artist Angie's recommendation. I remembered watching it when it first came out, and then it kind of fell away from me, so I started watching Lost Kingdom.
Huh. I haven't.
On Netflix.
So that's one of the ones that I've been thinking about starting, and I just haven't yet. I don't know. Lately, I've been binge-watching old stuff on Prime just because I've been feeling nostalgic. I'm now up to season 3 of Stargate because the other day when I couldn't sleep, I watched like 36 episodes in a row.
Right. Because you can. So you got through most of the first... You got through most of its run on...
Showtime.
Showtime.
Yep, pretty much.
Now, yeah. So... You know, that was actually one of the times that something went to Sci-Fi and got better.
Yeah, for a little bit, and then it got weird.
I mean, no boobs, but on the other hand, the writing got better, so.
Yeah, I mean, that was true. When Sci-Fi first took it over, they were really pretty true to the content, and it actually did improve. And then Shanks left for a while, and it kind of went, we're still doing this, why?
You know, I didn't like the Corin Nemec years at first, but I've learned to appreciate them on a level.
See, I liked Corin Nemec. I don't know. I was always more of a Shanks fan.
Well, yeah, obviously. He does the sarcastic. He does the smart Jack O'Neill.
Yeah, so. And he does it well.
He does. They've put our logo on the sweatshirt.
So I've forgotten about some of my favorite...
Thanks, Mike.
Oh, hang on. See, it's doing it again. Hang on just a second.
Sure.
All right, so you should be good now.
Okay.
All right. I don't know.
Nope, I hear myself now.
Well, it'll stop that in a second. It's because I had to refresh the engine.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's gone.
Yeah, I don't know if it was translating to anybody else, but you kind of... Hang on, let me let you know what you sounded like for a second, because I have a setting for that now. For just a second, you sounded a lot like this, and it was really confusing, and then I fixed it.
Yeah, in gaming parlance, we call that you went robot.
Pretty much. Yeah. This thing is called Chopper, but yeah. They actually have an effect for that, which is weird. I don't know why they would do that, but whatever.
Yeah, as we were talking about during the before the show, I was doing some research on getting a new microphone, and then I saw this thing. It was actually a video on how to fix your shit microphones when you have a VR headset, because I guess the Rift S is notorious for going robot. And their free answer to everything was use voice meter.
Well, the thing about it is there is a free way to clean up pretty much any mic that you're using. There are, first of all, Voice Meter is a really good program because it lets you do some of the basic EQs, things like that. But there are a group of plugins that you can use that actually work as noise gates, filters, all kinds of things, and you can find free ways to do that too. They're called VSATs, if I remember right. But it was one of those things where I never had the patience to sit down and figure out how to make all the plugins work. And eventually I was just like, screw it. I want a real microphone because I'm tired of this hum and I don't think I'm going to be able to get rid of it otherwise. And honestly, I got a really great microphone that's usually like $150 for like 50. So, yay. Anyway.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm still looking at getting a Blue Yeti or... I'm torn between the Blue Yeti and the Blue Nano. But, But, yeah. So, yeah, I'm watching Lost Kingdom and I... Based off of what I'm watching now, I don't know how they're on 4 seasons already. This definitely seemed like a show that they wanted to wrap up in one season. I'm about 4 or 5 episodes in. And it seems like they wanted to wrap it up in the first season and then didn't. So I don't know.
Well, I mean,
Angie said it gets really good, so yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, this is Angie. Her taste is usually pretty good, but, you know, there's always the first time for her to be wrong. But... So here's the interesting thing, though, because you bring up shows that kind of seem like they were trying to wrap. Supernatural, which I know that I don't think you've ever watched it, but Sam has, was originally written as a 5-year arc 20 years later. Just it's finally about to die. I'm like, what the hell? You guys should have ended this stuff like 10 seasons ago. And I like the show. I don't know. I've tried this season. I even have it set to record. And at some point, I may go back and watch it, but I made it like 3 episodes in, and I was like, this is just the same shit again. I mean, how many times can these same 2 dudes save the world? Over and over and over.
That was kind of funny you mentioned that, because I just watched a What Culture like a week or two ago that talked about that. You know, they're doing shows that were only supposed to be for short runs. And then, because Buffy was another one, that was only supposed to be 3 or 4 seasons. And then that ran, what, 10?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's like they complete the main arc and go, we don't know what's going on. Also, disappointing news, next season is the last season of the new Lost in Space.
I know, I saw that already. I was pissed. I was like, are you kidding me? It finally found its feet. You guys are going to only do one more season?
I actually hope that that's one of those that they do keep running. But that might actually be a contract thing with Netflix. There's a lot of, you know, we've talked about it on Culture Shift. There's a lot of weird things going on between streaming services and who has the rights to what now. You know, we're a studio versus a production company versus a network. You know, who actually has the rights to it. Yeah, because it's like Stargate. You mentioned Stargate. MGM tried doing a proto streaming service called Gate World or something like that, where you had you could stream and you could watch everything Stargate related for all time. And then that just seems to have gone away, and now you can get it on Prime or Netflix. So, or not Netflix. I know you can get it on Prime, and I think you can get it on another streaming service too.
I'm gonna say it's not on Netflix because I looked. One of the ones that I was kind of mad that I haven't been able to find anywhere was Battlestar. Because after watching the little bit that I watched on Sci-Fi, I went and found it, and I'm recording it on that Canadian Sci-Fi channel, whatever the
sure.
Comet. But I hate commercials. Even if I can skip them, I'm just like, I would rather just watch this on something like Netflix or Prime or something. Why is it not on there?
I haven't looked in a while, but it might actually be on the Sci-Fi app. Because you can get a Sci-Fi app on Amazon Prime. And it may be on that.
I'll have to look.
Yeah.
But anyway. So,
but, yeah, so I had one more. Oh, HBO Max launched today.
I saw it was trending earlier today. I figured it was because it launched.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to look and see what it offers versus just having the HBO app on my Amazon and see if that might just be... You know what, you're right. Battlestar may be on Hulu. I think you're right, GR.
Maybe that's what it is. I know I'd seen it somewhere, but
yeah.
I don't know. I'm not going to start paying for Hulu until I can get rid of this stupid dish box, and I'm not getting rid of the dish box until they finally put in the freaking fiber optic that's like 3 miles from my house and still not here yet. I blame COVID.
Yeah, you know, I'm torn. I want to cut the cable, but I think I need to sell my stock in EchoStar before I do, because I think that that's causing an emotional attachment, because I figure as long as I'm paying for the monthly, then a lot of other people are too, and my stock is doing well. It's one of the ones that I've held on to for a very long time, back when EchoStar was, you know, first went public, and I gotta learn to let things go. I have been a customer of Dishes for 20 years. That's a hard one to do.
Yeah, see, I don't really have that same kind of loyalty. I mean, I used to be one of the ones that would, like, bounce from provider to provider just to get the better deals for a while, but now that they're all owned by the same two companies, that's not as easy to do anymore.
Right, it doesn't really matter.
It's all the same now. It doesn't really matter. But yeah, I mean, so, I don't know. My thing is, I'm just tired of paying so much for internet and TV to watch to have a bunch of channels that I actually don't really ever watch. I mean, most everything I watch right now is either on Prime, on local channels, or on Netflix. And I'm just like, why am I paying for all this extra crap I never watch?
Yeah, if I could get local channels on Prime, I think that would really make my... I mean, local for me is I get Los Angeles channels. But, you know, if I could get those on Prime, I think... Well, according to chat, they're burning down Minneapolis now.
That doesn't really surprise me. And I guess he didn't actually post the video this week. He said he was going to, but I don't see one. So I guess we're not going to do Buffoon this week.
All right, well, we'll just keep prattling on.
Let me check his Facebook real quick. Maybe he just didn't post it there since it wasn't actually buffoonish. Hang on just a second. Because I saw him post something, so I know he's put something out there. He just wasn't doing a Buffoon this week. Because he didn't want to do one on Memorial Day.
Why is the 101 trending? Oh. Black Lives Matter are walking on the 101 freeway in LA.
Nice.
Okay. So, yeah. So, you know, like I said, LA, They'll find any reason to riot.
So, wait a minute. So, I'm going through Gene's feed, right? And I see this headline. So, and you guys may have touched on this earlier, and I may have missed it, because you were talking about what the next thing is after, you know, murder hornets for May. So, apparently, CDC now warns of aggressive cannibal rats facing shortage of garbage to eat.
If you had cannibal rats on your 2020 bingo card, come collect your winnings.
I mean, what the hell is going on? I swear.
Oh my God, chuds are real.
I swear to God, it's the end of the world, dude. There's just no other explanation for all the weird shit that's happening month to month anymore. We are literally living in the freaking apocalypse.
You know what I saw on Twitter today was a lot of trepidation about the launch. Because of 2020 being so 2020.
Yeah, I mean, that's just,
I was like, no, this is going to break the curse. It's going to be okay. And everybody yelled at me for jinxing it. Oh, they're busting out cop windows on the 101. People riding on the hoods of cop cars. This is going to end well. Oh, and man down on the freeway. Well, what did you expect when you go out for a drag? And then they're all flagging a cop down to help the hurt guy. Okay. Good thinking, guys.
Yeah, I don't see his post anywhere anymore either. So I guess maybe he didn't do anything. Anyway, sorry, guys. I guess we will not do a Buffoon of the Week this week because he didn't do one for Memorial Day, and he actually said he'd put something else up, but I can't find it, so I don't know. So we'll just keep talking here for a minute just because why not? Yeah. Fun times, rioting in the streets.
Yeah, so, that's pure 2020. Let's see, AutoZone Minneapolis, ablaze by rioters.
That's why AutoZone is trending where I was.
Yeah, I just... Yeah, I'm looking through the feed to, see what else is going on with it. And yeah, just AutoZone, Target. Why do you burn your own neighborhoods? In Missouri, that's in O'Reilly's. In California, we have both. So. Oh, they burn in O'Reilly. Oh, was that during Ferguson's? Ferguson's, like. Anyway.
Well, they did loot. They did riot there more than once, so I guess it does count.
Car parts are racist. So, what else is on your mind? I know you've been kind of out of it.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, we've pretty much talked about everything that I wanted to talk about. I am really bummed that the launch was postponed. I mean, I get it. There was a tornado warning. So I guess the good thing is they did postpone it. Otherwise, it might have been another 2020 moment.
Ugh. Yeah, there was three things going on that postponed the launch between thunderstorms and rain so it would have been a launch scrub. I mean, it's a scrubbed launch, with any one of them, and so there were three. So yeah, I'm glad they didn't try to push it. And I saw an interview with Elon Musk before the launch too, and Corona's getting to him too. He's put on a little weight. Either that or he's still smoking pot with Joe Rogan.
Embrace the power of and, sir.
Yeah. Thank you. My own words against me.
Sorry, you walked into that one, so I had to.
What do we want to do Friday? I know we talked about
we decided we were going to start doing, we were going to unpack one of our primer episodes. I think the one that we had talked about was MKUltra, but I'm up for anything else if you change your mind.
I haven't. Yeah, we can go deeper into MKUltra. That actually goes well with the Kennedy one we did last week. So, was that Kennedy we did last? Yeah, that was Kennedy we did last. So, yeah, no, that's great. I'm all for revisiting MKUltra because I know there was a couple of them that we just kind of had to glaze over because of time, because there's so much involved in that were absolutely fascinating. So,
So yeah, I mean, I think that the biggest thing for me was realizing that you and I have been doing that show for a year at this point, or I have been. Your year's a little bit further down the line, I think, but not by much.
Yeah, it's when I noticed it. It was the nearly the 1 year of when I was a guest doing the Mandela Effect. God, that was a year ago. This week will have been a year of when I was on that, so I think you did two more episodes after that, and then you conned me into going full-time with you.
Yeah, because I started talking to you after, like, as soon as we shut down that episode, I'm like, you should do this show with me all the time. You're like, I don't know, this format doesn't really lend itself well to two people talking, and let me think about it. And 2 weeks later, you were like, screw it, I'm going to do it.
Right. I didn't have enough shows at the time.
You still don't.
I still don't know. I don't need more shows.
We have lots of time still open. Just saying.
You know, Angie needs a couple more shows. Then she can be on par with me, and then...
Angie needs to come back to doing podcasting just in general, because...
Yeah.
I miss her.
I mean, not Angie. Aggie. I don't know why I said Angie. Aggie needs a couple more. Well, yeah. Angie needs to come back, too.
I knew who you meant, but I was still running with your Freudian typo there, because I miss Angie and her spy dolphins.
Spy dolphins.
All right, so any last things you want to touch on before we get out of here?
Let's see. Lost Kingdom. Regulations are stupid. Twitter did it to themselves. LA will ride over everything. No, I'm good.
All right,
I'm good.
Folks,
how about you?
I think that's going to pretty much do it for this one. I think we've talked all the topics that I had off the top of my head, pretty much talked to death. And who knows? Maybe I'm going to hop on a flight to Minneapolis and start looting some shit. I can sell it. Just saying. No, not really. It's just looting.
Yeah, whenever I see riots, I think of the Sublime song, April 26, 1992. And it if you're not familiar with the song, go listen to it, then you'll realize whenever you watch a riot, it's pretty funny.
So, I don't know. But the whole thing is just annoying to me. Because, anyway, I'm going to get started again if I don't shut up. Cause,
go ahead, because I know I talked to you. Get it out of you.
Well, no, I mean, the whole thing, all of this is just dumb. I mean, that's just like all these people that are now trying to, well, you don't know the full story about what was going on with this person that was resisting. They died at the end of it. That's all I need to know.
Yeah. Shit. Dallas is considering using disaster declaration to raise property taxes 8%. Nashville, 32%. That's the one thing. Fucked up as California is, we've got Proposition 13, which pegs property taxes.
All I have to say is, if my state tries to do anything like crazy like that, I'm homesteaded, motherfuckers. Come at me. Right. Just saying, because it won't work. Because, that was the other thing. You know, I don't talk about this often, but this was my first experience buying a house, and it's headed towards 5 years, I believe. And my mortgage company actually screwed things up because I didn't understand how a lot of that worked, and I didn't realize that your property taxes were supposed to be configured at your new purchase price. So when they figured the property taxes, they were figuring the property taxes based on what the property was worth in 1986 when it was built. So on the first year, I paid almost nothing in property taxes. The second year, halfway through, they sent me money back. By the end of the second year, they're like, by the way, you now have an underage in your escrow account, and we have to charge you extra on your house payment. So I'm like freaking out with the property. I'm at the county commissioner's office going, what the fuck is this? They're like, did nobody tell you that you needed to sign this homestead paperwork? And I'm like, no. And they're like, okay, well, let's do that. I said, second of all, your mortgage company screwed you over, but they probably were doing it to try to make sure that you were able to get approved. And that's why you're having to pay extra on your house payment, because they figured your property taxes at the wrong rate, which technically means your house payment should have been $110 higher this entire time, and you wouldn't be in the position that you're in now if it wasn't for that. And I'm like, you motherfuckers. Yeah, so just make sure you read the fine print if you haven't bought a house yet, because there's some shady shit in there that your banks always don't tell you about on purpose, I think. But that's just me.
Well, did you buy one during the subprime?
No.
Okay, because my first house I bought during the subprime, and it was funny. They're just like, yeah, we'll give you $1 million. You don't have to prove income. I'm like, what? No, I don't want that much. I need this. I want this house. I will take this. But no buts. No. But you qualify, I don't care.
Dude, yeah, if I would have known how easy it was to try to get a house back then, I probably would have bought then. Because they were basically giving that shit away back then. You didn't have to prove income. Most of the time, they didn't even care what your credit score was like. They were like, we're basically just handing you this shit. Take it and run.
Like, my wife and I were bartenders at the time. They, you know, they knew in Nevada that there's a good chance that you were making 10 times your stated income in unreported tips. And so they knew that you had the cash. So that was like, yeah, you know, you don't have to prove income. Because on income, I showed next to nothing. But, I mean, I always had a lot of cash on hand. So, yeah.
The joys of bartending.
Anyway. You tried to wrap it up. I'm pretty sure our listeners are ready to get back to Twitter, too.
Yeah, well, I need to wrap it up anyway, because since I'm not doing the other 40 minutes and I have to be up at 5:30 to start this all over again, we're going to get out of here. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in for the abbreviated edition of Chat Lives Matter Day, because we didn't run for the entire four-hour gambit, but we got close. Because on this last segment, we haven't taken a commercial since, like, forever ago. So you guys actually got quite a bit, not counting the breaks. So I'll be back tomorrow morning, because it's Thursday, and gotta do two more shows, because yay for morning show. And good news is, that's going to be continuing for at least, actually over 2 more months at this point. I guess it'll be two months in a week. And for all I know, even longer, because I don't think my job plans on having us go back anytime soon, because every time they give us a soft return date, they move it. Our return date was actually supposed to be next Monday. And now it's August 1st. So they didn't just move it a little bit. They moved it a lot.
I was going to say, didn't they move you into July not long ago? Wow, May flew by, because I remember you saying that they moved you into June.
Yeah, it was June 1st.
Now it's August.
Now instead of them saying, maybe we'll push for July 1st, now they're saying we're work from home confirmed until the end of July. So that puts us back at a soft return date of August 1. So I figure by July they're going to be like, I don't think we're coming back till January, because I think they're about to give up on the thing altogether. But anyway, I'm going to get out of here. We'll see you guys tomorrow morning for the Daily Dose. Again, thank you, Ordy, for hanging out and helping the Robinson and Wright Show continue while my regular co-host has been essential. And no matter what you assholes in the chat say, he's not my imaginary friend, you bastards. Anyway, we'll see you guys tomorrow morning. Take care.
Hail Hydra.
I can see inside you. The sickness is rising.